Joining us now, he's the director of PR and content for the Greenbrier, Cam Huffman. Cam, welcome into the golf shop.
Thanks for having me.
So well, let's start out. We're kind of in year two of the golf course having to be rebuilt after all of that horrendous flooding that went on there. Have there been any more tweaks and twists and turns done to this golf course since last year that we need to know about heading into the tournament?
No, not really. It's pretty much the same golf course that we had last year. The good thing is we did just have another year of growth for things to mature a little bit and for everything to kind of be perfected. But the course is going to look pretty much the same as it did a year ago, and we're really excited with how all those renovations turned out a year ago. So it's a fantastic course, and we're excited to have the PGA Tour back on it.
So no substantive changes in terms of new tees, new greens, or trees that are no longer in the way for this year. But how did the winter affect your growth? I mean, what are the conditions of the course, and how is the tour going to – how much freedom is the tour going to have to set it up?
A good bit. I mean, the course is just in perfect shape. You know, last year we were kind of scrambling to have it ready, and it was ready and in place. But just a year of growth for everything to mature obviously helps a good bit. And so this year we're working on just perfecting it instead of just getting it back out there. So it's in really good shape, and we're really excited about the week ahead.
Yeah, and this year the tournament is a military tribute at the Greenbrier. So I know there's always some fantastic events that go on with this golf tournament. Kind of give our listeners a feel for what's going to be going on. And I believe you do still have some tickets available. And, you know, our listening area is not too far away, so people can go up there and take advantage of this.
Absolutely, yeah. It's an easy trip to make, a nice little drive, and we have plenty of tickets remaining. If you log on to militarytribute.com, you can get a ticket for $49 for the week for all 7 days, and come whenever you want to. So it's a great opportunity, and a lot going on. We have being around the 4th of July is one big reason that we changed the name to a military tribute, and are doing a lot of things to honor the military. And we'll have on the 4th of July we'll have a flyover. We'll have a paratrooper coming in with a giant American flag. We have a fireworks display that night, and just several events like that. We're doing a lot for our military. As you mentioned, tickets, but military members all get in free as well, and they get access to our Stars and Stripes outpost, which is a special area. They'll have air conditioning inside building, and seating, and TVs, and food and drink for sale, and all that kind of stuff that they'll get free access to. And they'll also be registered to win several different contests for military members. So a lot going on throughout the week. Our Wednesday program is always a big fan favorite, as we get a lot of celebrities from the sporting world and beyond come in and play with the PGA Tour golfers. So it's going to be a fun week all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those events that kind of reminds us of the week after the Masters, for example, where the players, and maybe more specifically, their families love coming to the Greenbrier. I mean, the course was built in 1924, had a Ryder Cup in 79, had the Solheim Cup in 94. And you've got Phil Mickelson involved with the redesign and the falconry and all that kind of stuff. Why does the Greenbrier take on that kind of a vibe among tour players and their families?
I think it's much different than a normal regular week after week PGA Tour stop because of the Greenbrier Resort. You know, everything is contained right there. Most of the PGA Tour stops that these guys go on, they play, and then they travel somewhere else to go to the hotel, somewhere else to go to dinner, and at the Greenbrier, it's all in one spot. They finish up their round, and we have 55 activities that their families can partake in, from swimming to off-road driving and falconry, as you mentioned, a little bit of everything. And their families can enjoy themselves during the day. And as soon as the golfer's finished, he can meet his family for dinner or a movie or whatever and hang out. So, yeah, it's a perfect spot for families. And I think, yeah, we have a lot of success with getting the wives to convince the players to come play with us. So it's a fun event for everybody.
Well, and you know, as the field has shaped up for this year, you've always had a variety of players show up. I mean, some years it's a great mix of players in terms of I think they're how high profile they are, and also sort of where they are in the world golf rankings. And so, looking at this year's, at this year's field as it shapes up, what kind of player do you see in there whose game is currently in the best shape to be successful at the Greenbrier?
Well, it's funny. A lot of our winners over the past have come out of nowhere. As you said, we've had all the biggest names in the sports, from Tiger Woods to Phil Mickelson and George Spieth and Dustin Johnson, and everybody has played with us over the years. But most of our winners have been first-time guys, or kind of guys that came out of nowhere to get to win. So you never really know. But we have Bubba Watson is a Greenbrier Sporting Club member, lives on property some of the times, and he's been so hot lately. I think you have to look at his game. He obviously knows the course well. He plays it all the time. So you have to look at somebody like him. But then anybody coming out of nowhere. I mean, Kevin Kisner, he's played an event almost every year and has done well, including making a playoff one year. So he's another guy that I think you have to keep an eye on. But who knows? Our event over the years has kind of proven you just never know.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Robert Streb has back-to-back, runner-up finishes out there. So it does seem like, in a sense, that there are horses that are built for this course, doesn't it?
It does, and it's not as long as some of the courses that they play other places. So that kind of maybe brings some different guys into the mix a little bit. But still, the long hitters can fare pretty well as well. So I think it's all about a lot about driving accuracy. You don't want to play out of the rough on the old white. So it's the guys that can hit it straight that usually seem to fare pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, straight is always good, and long can be even better. Is this one of those, though, where the trying to land your drive in the right place for your second shot is key to your success? I mean, it's not just enough to be straight and down the middle. Sometimes if you're able to put it someplace smart as opposed to long, you might even be in a better spot.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, you know, kind of old style, more of a thinker's course a little bit, where you have to really think about your placement instead of just bombing it all the time. But it's funny, having said that, you'd think there'd be an advantage for players that have played it more and more often. But we've had a few guys win in their first time playing the event. So it's just kind of open for anybody.
Again, we're talking with Cam Huffman, the director of PR and content for the Greenbrier. And, you know, one of the unique things about this golf course is finishing on a par three. And we've seen some hole-in-ones there in the past. Are there going to be any Benjamins given out this year for hole-in-ones on 18?
I don't think we're doing that. We're doing that this year. I haven't heard. You know, sometimes those things come up last minute, but so far I don't think we're doing that. But as you said, it's such an exciting. I was talking about this yesterday a little bit. Such an exciting finishing hole. You just don't see that anywhere else really on tour of par three, but the fans really pack that area, and it's a great place for them to gather around, and it can lead to a lot of excitement coming down the stretch for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, the best thing about that hole is it's very much, they can massage that hole a lot. I mean, it can play longer, it can play shorter. It seems like the PGA Tour does a very good job in terms of pin placement versus yardage. I mean, when the pin's kind of tucked inside of a little slope area, they tend to shorten the hole, make it a little bit more, accessible to the higher trajectory of the shots. And when the pin's in easier locations, they make it a little bit longer hole. I mean, that's kind of what makes that hole more exciting than anything else.
It is, and over the years, they've had a tendency to kind of make a good placement, especially on Sundays, to make it exciting. As you said, we've seen some aces on that hole, especially on Sundays. So they put it in a spot where maybe you can create a little extra drama there on that final round.
Yeah, and going back to 2010, the winners include, with the absence, obviously, of 2016 when the event wasn't played, Stuart Appleby, Scott Stallings, Ted Potter Jr., Jonas Blixt, Angel Cabrera, Danny Lee, Xander Schauffele. Now, that group actually had scores that vary quite a bit as well, as the group seems to vary quite a bit in notoriety as players. Where can we see guys score, and where might we see some carnage? I'm a fan of the carnage, I'm not going to lie. So where should I go to hang out to see guys fall apart?
Well, I think the last few holes, maybe excluding, well, 18 is a scoring hole, but for the carnage, I think maybe, you know, the 17 is a par 5, and it's kind of a risk-reward type hole. You do see some carnage there, and you see some eagle opportunities. So that, I think that's a really fun hole to watch. 16 is another hole. It runs parallel to a lake. So you kind of got some water on the right side there, and it's another risk reward where the players kind of decide how much they want to challenge that water to to give them the best shot into the green. So you can see some carnage there for sure. And really, it's a little bit of anywhere. As I said, if you get in that rough, it's just pretty thick and you can be trouble on basically any hole. But if the par fives on the back are definitely scoring holes, if that's what you're looking for.
All right, Cam. Well, a lot of us can't make the trip, and we'll be watching on TV, and you know right now where the TV towers are. So when we hear them, you know, we're going to go back to the tower on what, or go back to the tower over here, which towers should we be looking for the coverage to come from to see the best golf?
I would again go back to 18.
Yeah.
Which obviously is the most exciting spot. I mean, that's where the final tower is, and where you're going to see a lot of birdies and maybe even some aces, and it's just a lot of fun for sure.
All right, so here we're going to go. We're going to hold your feet to the fire. Sunday afternoon, what is the number in relation to par that you would feel comfortable saying that this is the number that the somebody can put their feet up on the table, up in the bar area, maybe have a Frosty, and sit back and say, nobody's going to touch me at this number. What's the winning number?
I'll say let's go 14 under. I think that's the area that it always kind of seemed to be somewhere around in that area. I think that would be a good score this week.
I like 14 under because it does. They're not torching the course, and you know the course is set up for scoring. 14's a good weekend number.
You know, I'm going to throw it out there. Is okay if the 14 number is the winning number? Then I want to see like three guys at 13, and I want to see a playoff because I want to see guys trying to throw darts in overtime.
Ooh. Yeah, that's one another thing you mentioned exciting about that at par 3 18th is we've had a few playoffs and what drama that creates with some playoffs on a par 3 and you can see it all play out right in front of you there at 18. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know 18 green got changed slightly, but there's still the opportunity for that pin to kind of be over in that right corner with the slope. And if you get it just right on the slope, it feeds down to the pin. If you get it just wrong, it kind of feeds away. So that does create a little more excitement, especially in a playoff, right?
It does. And one of the other things I've always found kind of fascinating about playoffs there is, you know, you get the little extra adrenaline. And that kind of affects your distance there on the par three shots. So the players really have to think about club selection when they get up there. Maybe not use what they've done the rest of the week because the adrenaline can make that ball carry a little further past the green.
Oh yeah, I'm here to tell you that you'll hit a full 9-iron in regulation and you'll stick it 3 feet, and then you'll come back in a playoff and you're like, okay, I got the adrenaline pumping.
Nine still seems right.
I'm going to hit the 9-iron, but I'm going to hit it at like 80%. And then next thing you know, you make that nice, easy swing, and that ball goes like 10 yards further anyway. So, I mean, I definitely know how that works out.
For sure.
Well, Cam, man, we really appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to a great event out there, a military tribute at the Greenbrier. So we appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.